What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com. Everyone's watching to see what you will do.
Everyone's looking at you. Oh, everyone's wondering. Time for us to get raunchy.
Merry day after Christmas, everybody. It's the DGS. There's no DG. And the S is Hancock and Kelly and Ranji.
Well, for a bit.
Yeah, for the first hour. We'll be in all week, or almost all week, for the Dave Glover Show. Dave returns in 2024. And that's a good gig if you can get it, you know.
Does anybody really work anymore during these weeks? I mean, obviously, outside of all of us in this building.
Present company excluded.
Just the people who really care.
Working our butts off over here.
Right. Just to show, only the people who really care about the mission.
Yeah, so most manufacturers, the auto industry, the plane industry, they shut it down.
The planes.
They shut down Boeing. They shut down their factories from Christmas through New Year's. I would think most of the office buildings in downtown, you know, people, I mean, who's coming in?
They're empty anyway. I mean, it doesn't have to be
all
the week
right,
after.
Most of the office buildings in Clayton are probably sitting there empty.
436-7900 if you want to join us via text if you're out there not working today, which most of you are.
How'd you draw the short straw today? Well, first of all, where's your partner?
Why do you think I'm her keeper?
Well, you would have asked me the same thing if I was sitting here without Hancock.
Let me tell you something.
Well, yeah, everybody would be concerned if I didn't show up because if Kelly's not here, it's, you know, he's wherever he is.
She did not respond to my Christmas text.
Whoa.
Really?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Maybe she's not in the country.
I think she is. She better not be.
So you sent Amy Markscores a Christmas text wishing her a Merry Christmas.
Nothing.
I think we should call her live on the air in a little while.
You can't. It's illegal.
What? It's illegal?
Yeah.
Even if it's her?
Correct.
Even if she is a member of the KMOX?
That is correct.
Do we have to say to her, Amy, we're on the air
you
live?
You have to tell them before they get on the air that they're going to be on the air.
Have you ever done this?
No.
You've never
It's illegal.
Could.
It's illegal.
You about got me breaking the law, Kelly. We're doing the show prep today, Ron. Kelly says, here's a great idea.
Let's prank call people.
Let's call everybody who's supposed to be working today and is not here.
You know, we've got 16 segments, and so there's a segment.
We'll call Glover and be like, where are you, dude?
It is literally an FCC violation to call somebody cold.
You could be fired, Mike.
Wow. Interesting.
Then it would be
so I can start an insurrection and not go to jail. But if I call somebody,
right?
But if I call somebody without their permission,
well, there are a lot of people going to jail for it.
The insurrection, little people are going to jail. Yeah, exactly.
Just don't call them on the phone. If you call them on the phone and they're sitting there in prison in Washington D.C., then you're going to go to jail.
But that's a weird rule.
I'm certainly glad we found out about it now.
Were you guys really going to do it?
Yes.
Yes.
We're probably still going to call them. What are they going to do? Fire us?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Remember we talked on Friday about how invaluable you guys are. Oh. You're the Swiss Army knives of the station.
Because the price is right, as Drew Carey and at one time Bob Barker.
But it's not that. It's there's trust. Mm. They trust you to be on the air.
How was your holiday?
Pretty good.
What'd you do?
Not bad. Yeah, I went to my uncle's house.
Yeah.
Hung out with the...
Uncle Hal?
Uncle Hal.
It was cool that this Christmas we had football too, right? Because
a lot of football.
Yeah, there's never usually football on Christmas. It's usually Christmas. NBA basketball.
And who wants to watch NBA basketball?
Oh,
I like
great
watching
too.
The playoffs, but I'm not a big regular season fan.
I couldn't even tell you who the Timberwolves are playing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know their schedule either.
Well, see there, you're not a real fan, right?
I am not a Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, no.
So how far away was your uncle's house?
Like 5 seconds from my mom's house.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Nice.
They live close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over there in Godfrey, Illinois.
You were in Godfrey?
No, you were in Godfrey.
No. Granite City. Come on, man.
Well, one of those city cities. A lot of G cities over there. You got the Godfrey, you got the Granite City, you got the
Granite City's not that far away.
No.
When I think of the word Granite City, I think, oh, man, that's got to be a long distance.
No, it's just
right
like over
10
there.
Minutes. I play golf on a golf course. So this is like called the Legacy Course or something?
Mike, it's a long way from your ivory tower, you know?
Hey, now, speaking of my ivory tower, I went out to St. Charles. Most of my family, we all live out there in St. Chuck.
Yeah.
I'm one of two who's, you know, crossed the river and made the voyage into the big city.
Yeah, but you're not native of St. Your family moved there, right?
Well, I grew up there. I was born there in St. Charles.
Yeah, but there was a Kelly family before you came up.
Yeah, but now, buddy, listen, I grew up in North St. Charles, so it's north of Old
Main
Town.
Main streets of North St.
Charles. In fact, there's a Boeing plant, an old McDonnell Douglas plant at the bottom of the hill.
I think it's where my dad used to work.
Really? At the missile plant there?
Yep.
Well, on the other side of the highway.
Small world.
You know, it's the confluence of the Mississippi and Missouri rivers. And they've built this new area called Newtown. And now all these other places, Charlestown and all these other, they're in the floodplain. Guys, I was there. 1993, there was 10 feet of water where all this is at. Now there's thousands upon thousands of people living out there. And every time I drive to St. Charles, I just can't believe it.
Aren't they worried about the flood?
Why wouldn't you be worried about the flood? Were you here for the floods?
Of course.
Did it flood in Granite City?
I was in high school. On the edge, because Granite City is on the canal.
Uh-huh.
Right?
What's that mean?
So there's the little, the lock and dam.
Okay.
You know, the boats come.
Yeah. Did it come over?
Not really.
You would have remembered.
Yeah, we didn't have much trouble, but I know a lot of people from my town went and did sandbagging all over the area. It was like a thing when you were in high school. We're going to go sandbagging.
Well, that's how you got your service hours.
Yeah.
Didn't you have to get service hours to graduate from high school?
No.
Especially if you're on probation.
Yeah. That was the only way that I could get my diploma is you had to do so many service hours.
Oh, no. They didn't require that of us.
They didn't?
But they at least made us take a driver's test, which y'all over here don't do.
No.
Yeah.
Do they teach you driver's ed in Illinois? Hey, when are they going to teach you guys how to use those blinkers and the signals that they have there so that people
know
you're
making... Do you guys even know what a blinker is?
I do.
That's
what you got there. You go up to go right, down to go left, which is very confusing.
Worst driver in the room.
You know, you'd think that, you know, you'd go right to go right and left to go left. No, you got to go up to go right and down to go left.
Is he a bad driver?
The worst. The absolute worst driver.
Hancock is?
Yeah. Now, let me tell you, I almost killed him one day in a car, driving his car. But I'm a far better driver than he is because I actually know where I'm going.
Yeah, that's my problem.
He doesn't know where he's going. One day, Ron, she asked me, would you drop me off at the civil courts building in downtown St. Louis? I said, sure, John. So I Googled the civil courts building. Do you know where the Papa John's is here in the building?
Yeah.
Catty corner to it, across the street, is the civil courts building. And I said, well, John, you can walk over there. And he goes, no, I got to drive. I got to go. I mean, this guy didn't know how,
he didn't know
how to get anywhere, literally across the street. Now, tell him what happens when you got a parallel park. You just keep going.
Well, it depends on, I mean, if I'm really in a pinch, you know, I can make it happen. But
when's the last time you've parallel parked a car?
So it would have been, a couple, 3 years ago, probably.
3 years you've gone without parallel parking.
Well, I mean, the great thing about St. Louis is there's nobody here.
Parking is abundant.
Yeah, and so you don't need to worry about squeezing that car into that little space because there's nothing but space out
there. That's
right. And it's the best way to parallel park, I have found, is you just pull over to the side there. Now, you got to be careful, Roz, that you don't hit the curb because that can result in a flat tire down the road at some point, which I think I may be experiencing right now in my car.
Uh-oh.
Buddy, you better be careful, especially as the weather gets colder. That stuff will get harder, and it'll crack easier. Your tire could be in trouble.
I'm a little worried about my tire.
He says to me the other day, he says, I got to go home here in a little bit. We were playing snooker.
Was that the day I passed up the street?
Yeah. Oh, well, one day we get off on major exit, Highway 270. He went flying by it. Where was I going with the story?
Well, I was going to 141.
Oh, so he says to me, he says, I got to go home. His home's like 2 miles from the pool hall. I said, oh, okay. He says, but I've got to go fuel up my tire. I said, what do you mean fuel up your tire? He goes, I got a slow leak. It's been going on. Had to fuel it up this morning. I was like, buddy, you need to get that fixed.
You know what I found? That little light comes on the dashboard telling you something is horribly
wrong.
Well,
it tells you that the tire pressure is off.
So, and it really bothered me. I finally figured it out. If you push the select button to the left, the warning goes away. So
it's not fixing the problem.
Well, no, but I don't have to think about it. It's not staring me in the face my entire drive now, and I can head down to the Voice of St. Louis here. Now, at some point, I'm going to need to inflate the tire. And I bought me a tire gauge the other day, Michael. That's the way you stick this little thing. I've never seen this before. It's amazing how this thing works. So you got this little stick, and it's got a little nozzle on the end, like the air pump does.
I'm familiar with the stick with the nozzle.
Yeah. And you put the little nozzle into the tire, and whoosh, and the little tongue sticks out and tells you how much air is in there.
That's what a gauge does.
It's incredible.
Yes.
And so then. Now that you know, so we figure let's say it says 26, all right, let's just theoretically, and you're supposed to have like 34 in the tire, that means you're about 8 pounds short.
That's right.
So that's a good.
When was the last time you were short on pounds?
Six, seven seconds with the air thing on there, and then you put that little magic deal back on it, and whoosh, the tongue comes out and tells you got 34 pounds and you're driving away, and the light has gone off.
What do you think a new tire would run you?
Huh?
What do you think a new tire would run
you? Well, you can't just buy one. That's the problem with tires.
Yeah. Yes,
you need it. This happened to me.
Oh, they try to upsell you.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I had a tire. I dropped it off at the place. Mm-hmm. And then you put the little key in the drop box, you know, you figure they'll get to it. I called them up the next day, about 10:30. I said, yeah, I'm calling about my tire. They said, what tire are you talking about? I said, my car. I've got my cars out there. And they said, did you leave it in the drop box? I said, yes. He said, well, let me go check. 10:30 in the morning, they hadn't checked the drop box. So sure enough, he found it, and he says, well, we'll take a look at it, and we'll call you. Well, they call you back. I said, well, probably going to need two tires. And I said, well, I just got the one that's run a little low there. He said, yeah, but the other one is wearing, and, you know, you don't want to have either uneven
on the air, right?
Treads. Yeah. You know, you got the one
that
tread.
That seems pretty logical to me.
Yeah, I wanted a tire.
I understand, but he was
selling me two tires.
Do you realize that if you don't deal with this, you're going to be on Highway 40 calling me and
no,
saying,
no, I won't be calling you. I'll be calling AAA, buddy.
Yeah?
They love me.
Yeah?
I'm on the what they call the A++ prestige customer list, man.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times a year you think you call AAA?
A few. Six, five.
In a year?
I think you're only allowed to use them four times.
Well, really? Not me. Not when you're the preferred AAA plus valued customer.
Wow.
They tell you to go online and tell their little Snapchat guy what's wrong with your car. And I said, I'm not talking to the Snapchat guy. I want to talk to a live human being. And so then finally they put you
press
right
zero?
Through. Huh?
Did you press zero?
And I don't
finally
know what
get
I did.
You
Michael,
the
I'm on that. You're
representative.
When you're calling AAA, you're in a crisis, by definition. So I get the guy on the phone. I said, it's me again. It was Mr. Hancock, he says. Well. So they get right out there. The guy got out there. My battery was dead. This was the last time. And so he comes out. He says, yep, that battery's dead. I said, well, I kind of figured because the car won't start. And he said, we can charge you right up or we can sell you a new battery. He said, now this battery is, you know, it could go at any time. That's what they always say to you.
Right.
Okay, fine. I'll take the new battery. So he goes to get his tools out of the truck. He left his tools at the office. He says
the AAA
to me,
guy doesn't
yes,
have the tools.
He says to me, "Have you got any tools?" I said, well,
this is the reason I called you.
My wife's got tools. I let me go see what I got in there. So I bring my tools out.
John comes out with one Phillips screwdriver.
I had some tools in there, but he's looking for one of those wrenches that twist and go backwards. You know, what do you call those?
The crescent wrench.
No, the one the cranker. The wrench.
Socket wrench.
Yes,
socket wrench.
He wants the socket wrench. He says, "I said, well, let me see if I got one of those. I don't know what a socket wrench." So I said, you know, I don't think I can help you, partner. And he says, well, he said, do you mind if I run back? He said, I can be back here in, I don't know, 40 minutes.
40 minutes?
That's what I said. I said, fine, it's Thanksgiving.
This was this Thanksgiving?
Well, just before.
Wow.
And I wouldn't call AAA on Thanksgiving unless I was in a real emergency.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a few days before Thanksgiving. So he went back, he got the tools, I got a new battery. All right, how did we get here?
I don't know.
Well, anytime we talk about your driving, it turns into a disastrous story, and it's always entertaining.
All right. Well, when we come back, Michael's got a girlfriend.
What?
What? I don't have a girlfriend.
All right, Mike.
No. Yeah. Reggie, I told him a story about a girl.
Oh.
And he's taking it to the nth degree. I'll tell you about it after this.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Don't you need to get back in the arms of a good friend? Oh, 'cause honey, believe me, she'll love to call.
Welcome back to the DGS. John Hancock and Michael Kelly filling in at low cost for the Odyssey people. Chris Ronji is in with us. We got a text message here, Michael.
Uh-huh. What's it say?
You know, I was talking about my tire situation.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the texter, he says, if you have an all-wheel drive, you cannot replace just one tire.
Hey, now.
Because I said, why is that? He says, because you will mess up the differential.
Ah, well, there you are.
Yeah.
Differential. Now that I understand that, because if your differential is messed up, what that does is it throws everything off. Mm-hmm. You got to have your differentials got to be in agreement. Yeah. And because if your differential is not different, then it's no longer a differential. It's now
a differential? Well, Hancock and Kelly?
We're talking about tires, Michael.
I understand, but...
So you want your differential to not be messed up. That's why you got to replace both of the tires.
But we complement each other.
Nicely.
If you're going to replace Hancock, you got to replace Kelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so you're telling me about this girlfriend.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I don't have a girlfriend. Knock that stuff off. How does someone text here?
436-7900, 314-436-7900.
Have we got any other text messages?
Well, yes. Somebody said, Hancock is lucky there are jobs in radio, or I don't know if he could survive.
You could do other jobs.
Oh, heck.
Yeah. You've already
done one now. Now that I got this whole differential thing figured out, I can go to work for Dobbs.
You know, you were talking about how you don't believe they're honest to you when you take your car in. Let me tell you what really helped my faith in the car people.
Uh-huh.
I took mine in to get a tire replaced,
yeah,
or maybe a couple, I don't know. And they looked at my car and they said, well, you need three new tires.
Three?
One of them is good. And I'm like, okay, thank you. So go ahead and replace the three. And I knew they were being honest with me because I had just purchased
another tire.
Because there was an accident with it.
Uh-huh.
And so I felt like, okay, they could have said, you need four tires.
Exactly.
But they didn't. They said, you need three.
That's awesome.
They were honest to me.
Good for you.
I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't that mess with your differential, though, when you...
I think it undeferred them.
You know, I think it's all about how you behave when you deal with the mechanic.
You got to let them know that you know.
Right. You have to walk in there and not be what you are,
which is
unknowing of anything.
No, that's right.
You got to act like, hey... You know what? I normally do this in my driveway, but I needed to come and bring this thing in here for you to look at. Yeah, I wanted you to take a peek at this.
And if, you know, if we can't do this without messing with the differential, then I may have to go elsewhere.
Yes. Because I've gone in there before because somebody told me I need a new blinker fluid and acted. I said, listen, I need some new blinker
fluid. All right, tell me about this girl. But here's a text that says, is Kelly really as cute as he sounds?
Oh, yeah. I like the text messages.
That's
so now you like them, huh?
She just celebrated her 83rd birthday.
Hey,
last
Ethel,
week.
Baby. How are you?
Yes. All right. So tell me about this girl.
Hey,
Michael.
Ethel.
You know who sent that? Michael.
Yeah, right.
He just learned what the text number is, and he just sent that text.
So you were talking about returns earlier today.
Yeah.
People having to make returns, and there's lots of people
having
to return stuff.
Today's the biggest day of the year for it.
Well, So, you know, the return game is over with.
That's because they moved the kickoffs up.
A friend of mine says to me the other day, she says, hey, do you mind, I'm going to try on a couple of dresses, and then whatever I don't use for this party, I'm going to return the other ones. She orders like 40 dresses.
She's at your house trying on
40?
Dresses?
No. Well, I was at her place.
Oh, she was trying on dresses at her house.
So she tried on like 40 different dresses and then returned like 38 of them.
What? Are you serious?
I was like, you're the person who's ruining returns for the rest of us. But then I was like, really? You can do this? You don't have to like go to Macy's anymore or to Target? You can just order it online and return it that way?
40 dresses?
I'm exaggerating a bit, but when I tell you she had 10 dresses, yes.
Was it at least 10, really?
Yeah, from 10 different places.
Now, this is what we talked to Edgar Dworsky with Consumer World, and he said that people who do that are ruining it for everybody else.
Totally.
And one of the things he said is, people will order two different sizes of the same thing, try one on, see if it fits, and then send the other one back.
Yeah.
And he said that's what's contributing to it. And I went, oh, God, I do that.
You do?
Sometimes.
Yeah, wait, you'll order two different shirts. Two shirts, same shirts.
Depends.
Oh, well, you're ordering depends.
It depends. Only comes in the one size.
Yeah. You know? I found that they have the elastic bands, and you usually can get them around anybody.
Can't have a serious conversation with you guys.
We can. Go right ahead. You've ordered.
I did it with a coat recently.
He's ordered two coats.
I ordered the first one, and it showed up, and I thought, man. Well, I need to try the other one.
But don't you think they ought to charge some type of nominal fee for this?
But what I did was I took it back to the store instead of, you know,
mailing it back.
We're going to step aside. Hancock, Kelly, Ranji. There's news right after this on KMOX. With Hancock and Kelly. We'll be with you all the way till Friday. Chris Ranji kind enough to stick around with us to for the change. And all right, guys, this is going to be our one serious segment, but it was interesting. I don't know if you guys had any political conversation at your Christmases.
We really
didn't have too much, but we did talk about the conflict in both Israel and Russia. And the thing that still flabbergasts me that I don't get is in Israel, the left seems to be siding more with Palestine and, being very far more sympathetic to what's going on for the Palestinians. And the right is being far more sympathetic to Russia as it relates to the crisis in Ukraine. And my question to you both is, aren't we dealing with the same thing? These were both terrorist attacks and an invasion that's taking place. And I just don't understand how two parties can come to the same support of one side, but different conclusions when it comes to the larger issues. Your thoughts?
Thanks, Ron.
I guess I was spot on with what I had to say there.
Well, what you have in Ukraine is their terroristic tactics that Russia's using, but it's a military invasion. I mean, they're kidnapping people and kids. Far more people and have been kidnapped out of Ukraine than were kidnapped out of Israel. And what Russia is doing now on a daily basis by bombing grade schools and residential buildings. And, I mean, they're committing war crimes on a daily, if not weekly, basis in Ukraine. And most of the gaze of the West has turned away from Ukraine, unfortunately, because that's a consequential battle over there. And looked now towards Israel. And you're right. The left is siding with the Palestinians and in some cases siding with Hamas, justifying that attack that Hamas launched on October the 7th. And far too many folks on the right, I think, would cede all or part of Ukraine to Vladimir Putin, which it would be a horrific signal to send in terms of our own national security, let alone that of Western Europe.
I don't know why we can't figure that part out. In why Ukraine matters to us, because it matters to our security down the road. Because if we allow Russia to just do whatever they want and then say, yeah, you know what, you better just, you know, concede some territory to them and make them go away. They're not, first of all, they're not going to go away.
Right.
And the farther they go, the more likely it is that we do get drawn into a ground battle, that we do have to send troops over there. And right now we don't have to. So I don't know how people don't see that, because that's clear right. as day.
But at the same time, and I don't understand how people on my side of the aisle don't see that what happened
to the
Israelis was a terrorist attack on the 9/11 scale for those folks.
Oh, I think they do. Here's what sucks about that situation. A million things about it do. That was horrific and inexcusable, and it you cannot defend it. You cannot defend what happened on October 7th.
Right.
I do think that there are a lot of Palestinians that don't like the situation they're in and feel Israel is responsible. Israeli government, not the Israeli people, but the government is partly responsible for their situation and how things are. Clearly, Hamas is also responsible for their lousy living situation. But what I think what people are seeing is they see the response to it as so far beyond what it should be, because as of right now, the estimation is close to 21,000 people have died. And a lot of them are going to be Hamas terrorists, Hamas fighters are going to be part of that number. We don't know exactly what it is, but what we do know is that the constant bombardment of the territory is not sitting well with not just Americans, but it's not sitting well with a lot of the world. A lot of the Western world is looking at that and saying, okay, I mean, you do have a right to defend yourself, but how many innocent people are going to die in this effort? That's
right.
What they're looking at. I think that's a fair question.
Very fair question, but let me pose one more thought to it. We were attacked by Osama bin Laden.
And I think we over-responded.
And we invaded Iraq and
Absolutely.
Afghanistan as
we
a result
no business,
of it. Killed. And how would we have taken it if the Brits would have said, hey, chill out, America. It's time for you to take a deep breath. Easy for us to say now with the hindsight of 20 years saying, yeah, that probably was a smart. But I remember, I mean, remember what we were doing with the French fries? We're changing the name to
stupid.
Freedom.
I thought it was stupid. It was stupid then.
But I mean, we weren't going to be taking any instruction. So why should the Israelis want to have to listen to us? Except we.
Well, that's a fair question. Yeah. But I think as a country, we're a little more arrogant.
Right.
And we just assume that whatever we do is the right thing. So why would you even bother questioning us?
But I
never liked the Iraq thing. It was
right. But am I crazy
idea.
In that I find myself as a left of center Democrat being on the side of the Israelis and the Ukrainians because both of them had aggression on them. And I'm for us winning these fights.
Yes.
And I get what everybody's saying, that we're losing innocent civilians. Easy for me to say, sitting here in the middle of America, 5,000 miles from wherever this is happening. But I want the good guys to win. And I don't understand what's going on, that the Republicans want to see Vladimir Putin win, from my perspective, and the Democrats feel like they want to see the terrorists win and Hamas win.
Well, Ukraine, to me, the Ukraine situation is just, it's obvious. That was a sovereign nation. Another sovereign nation brought their military in and occupied it, and is trying to. That's an invasion. What is going on now? I think there are too many people who won't allow themselves to be on the side of Israeli people, and I worry about their security. Israeli people, not the government, not Benjamin Netanyahu, which a lot of them don't even like. And didn't want in power. And as soon as this is over, I know they want
him
out.
He's gone.
They want him out. Okay? So I'm not on his side.
Right.
But I am also on the side of people who live in Palestine who are 8-year-olds. I've seen videos
right.
of 8-year-olds being dragged out of buildings after they've
we
been
all have.
Destroyed.
Right.
That's, to me, I don't know why you can't be on the side of Israeli people and also Palestinians who are not members of Hamas. And they're not all Hamas.
Israel has a military objective of eradicating Hamas's capacity to do what they did.
Right.
And because of the way Hamas is organized and structured, and because they denied civilians escape routes out, of heavily populated areas. You know, these things are happening. But at the end of the day, it's Israel that has the right to decide how they're going to prosecute this response to what was far and away the worst terrorist attack on a per capita basis in human history. I mean, if you think about what happened there. If you look at Ukraine, we set the predicate in Ukraine back in 2014 when Russia invaded Crimea, and we did nothing. We basically did in 2014 in the Obama administration what many Republicans in Washington right now are advocating for now. We said, okay, they took it. Let's cut a deal with them. And
they won't do it again.
Make them stop there. Right. And so this isn't some lesson from World War II that we need to understand. This is a lesson from 10 years ago. Uh-huh. Russia invades Crimea. The president talked tough, essentially did nothing. Ultimately, they negotiated a situation where Russia would stop and just seize Ukraine, take it back into Russia, and Ukraine wouldn't join NATO. Everybody washes their hands and walks away. What happens within less than a decade? Back comes Russia, back into Ukraine, beyond Crimea. And with the intent, let's not forget, when they went in, they had an intent of a two-week takeover of that country. They thought they were going to take Kyiv within 2 weeks, get rid of the Ukrainian government, and take all of that land back into Russia. That was the objective that they had. And we allowed that in 2014, invited them back in. And anybody who thinks that if we walk away from the Ukrainian government right now and give Russia whatever territory in the Donbass they've already seized, that it's going to make peace in the region? No, it's not going to make peace in the region. It's going to make the region less stable. It's going to empower and encourage China to do what they've been wanting to do for decades in Taiwan. And, you know, this lack of understanding of history and recent history is mind-boggling to me.
No, it is, but I don't think people like to concern themselves with it. And I don't think they realize, even though we say the phrase over and over again that history repeats itself,
it does.
I don't think people realize it. I think we say it like a throwaway line, but I don't think they realize just how true that actually is. And Vladimir Putin is he has an ideology here. We know what he wants to do. We know that he wants the old Soviet Union back, and if he can accomplish it, that's what he'll set out to do, and a lot of people are going to die in return. I would also, to take it back to Israel for a moment, we had Colonel McCausland on, which I know you guys have talked to him a lot, and I asked him the question. I said, okay, what they are doing right now, their response, because I think one of our biggest concerns, if not the greatest concern, should be how safe is Israel after all of this, and the military action and the manner they're taking it right now, does it make Israel safer? And he said, I don't know. And that, to me, is the danger of what they're doing, is that they're not ultimately going to be safer after all of this is over.
It's becoming completely evident that the American government is starting to waver on just the extent of what Israel's up to and the loss of civilian life.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the fact that Israel's going this far, will this ultimately maybe force the two-state solution that we've been trying to have? Do you think the world's going to finally say, Israel, guess what? We're having a Palestine, how we're going to fix this problem.
It was the Palestinians that walked away from the two-state solution when Bill Clinton proposed it. That was a period of time back in the 90s when there was broader consensus within Israel that a two-state solution might work, and it was the Palestinians that said no. Because the Palestinians don't want a two-state solution because if one of those states is Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. And the hardliners in Israel, and Netanyahu is a hardliner, they have the similar feeling about the Palestinians. There are other factions in Israel government over the course of history that have been very open to a two-state solution. But you can't force a two-state solution if one of the states, in this case Palestine, does not believe that Israel legitimately ought to exist. And that's the intractable problem in the Middle East.
Short break. We'll be right back after this on the DGS.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you
I thought it was Merry we wish Christmas. You a Merry Christmas.
Everybody wishes everybody a Merry Merry Christmas. Everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, John Hancock.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Ron. When do people stop saying Merry Christmas? Because, like, next it's over year. With.
It's the Christmas season.
Yeah.
It's Merry Christmas. And it's this whole week is kind of a, it's like an afterglow. You know how?
Yeah, more like afterglow to work. You know?
Yeah.
Well,
but it's over with, right? So if I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, Christmas happened on December 25th.
That was yesterday.
Right. So what am I wishing you?
Yesterday was Christmas, but this season is Merry Christmas season.
Okay.
See, at this point, I think you have to transition to a full Happy Holidays because you just had one and you're on the way to another one.
I'm with you there.
Because now it's New Year's coming up.
New Year's, which is really not a big deal.
When you get into the new year,
yeah.
There's a period of time. I think that's the more important question.
Yeah.
How long do you say Happy New Year?
I think once you figure out.
Usually once the Masters starts is when I quit.
Well, that's in April.
But yeah, exactly.
you can start, stop saying Happy New Year as soon as you figure out that you got to write 2024 on all of your checks.
Yeah, because so everybody's writing checks these days over there.
I'm writing checks.
Exactly.
What?
And you don't nobody's write checks? Writing checks.
Nobody
anymore.
Writes checks. How about you, no. PJ? You're right.
I bet he doesn't even have a checkbook.
Do you have a check? He's got a checkbook.
Ronge, do you
My daughter doesn't
do you still
have a
write checks or you electronic them?
Well, I electronica everything, but there were some times that I had to have a physical check.
Yeah.
And I had to physically go into the bank and, like, can I get a couple checks?
Yeah.
So they gave me a
little stack of checks.
No, like three or four.
So I'm the one that's keeping the deluxe check printing business in business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I go through
you and my grandmother.
Like your grandmother.
Is that how you pay bills?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you get a bill, and you write a check.
$28.19.
You get a bill, you write a check.
Why don't you just do the automatic withdrawal?
Well, because I want to know. I don't like when I'm writing checks, I like to have my register right there in front of me, Ron. Because I like to have my checkbook balanced to the penny. A penny.
But you can log into your bank account and you can look at every transaction.
You know what that, you know, it's more.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Hancock and Kelly. We'll be with you all the way till Friday. Chris Ronge, kind enough to stick around with us to
that is
for the change. And all right, guys, this is going to be our one serious segment, but it was interesting. I don't know if you guys had any political conversation at your Christmases.
We
really didn't have too much, but we did talk about the conflict in both Israel and Russia. And the thing that still flabbergasts me that I don't get is in Israel, the left seems to be siding more with Palestine and, being very far more sympathetic to what's going on for the Palestinians. And the right is being far more sympathetic to Russia as it relates to the crisis in Ukraine. And my question to you both is, aren't we dealing with the same thing? These were both terrorist attacks and an invasion that's taking place. And I just don't understand how two parties can come to the same support of one side, but different conclusions when it comes to the larger issues. Your thoughts?
Thanks, Ron.
I guess I was spot on with what I had to say there.
Well, you have in Ukraine is their terroristic tactics that Russia is using, but it's a military invasion. I mean, they're
kidnapping people and kids.
Far more people and have been kidnapped out of Ukraine than were kidnapped out of Israel. And what Russia is doing now on a daily basis by bombing grade schools and residential buildings. And, I mean, they're committing war crimes on a daily, if not weekly, basis in Ukraine. And most of the gaze of the West has turned away from Ukraine, unfortunately, because that's a consequential battle over there. and look now towards Israel. And you're right, the left is siding with the Palestinians and in some cases siding with Hamas, justifying that attack that Hamas launched on October the 7th. And far too many folks on the right, I think, would cede all or part of Ukraine to Vladimir Putin, which it would be a horrific signal to send in terms of our own national security, let alone that of Western Europe.
I don't know why we can't figure that part out. In why Ukraine matters to us, because it matters to our security down the road. Because if we allow Russia to just do whatever they want and then say, yeah, you know what, you better just, you know, concede some territory to them and make them go away. They're not, first of all, they're not going to go away.
Right.
And the farther they go, the more likely it is that we do get drawn into a ground battle, that we do have to send troops over there. And right now we don't have to. So I don't know how people don't see that. Because that's clear as day.
But at the same time, I don't understand how people on my side of the aisle don't see that what happened
to
the Israelis was a terrorist attack on the 9/11 scale for those folks.
Oh, I think they do. Here's what sucks about that situation. A million things about it do. That was horrific and inexcusable. And it you cannot defend it. You cannot defend what happened on October 7th.
Right.
I do think that there are a lot of Palestinians that don't like the situation they're in and feel Israel is responsible. Israeli government, not the Israeli people, but the government is partly responsible for their situation and how things are. Clearly, Hamas is also responsible for their lousy living situation. But what I think what people are seeing is they see the response to it as so far beyond what it should be, because as of right now, the estimation is close to 21,000 people have died. And a lot of them are going to be Hamas terrorists, Hamas fighters are going to be part of that number. We don't know exactly what it is, but what we do know is that the constant bombardment of the territory is not sitting well with not just Americans, but it's not sitting well with a lot of the world. A lot of the Western world is looking at that and saying, okay, I mean, you do have a right to defend yourself, but how many innocent people are going to die in this effort? That's
right.
What they're
let
looking
me,
at.
Let
I
me
think
pose
that's, that just, is a, that's a fair question.
Very fair question, but let me pose one more thought to it. We were attacked by Osama bin Laden.
And I think we over-responded.
And we invaded Iraq and
absolutely
Afghanistan as
we
a result
no
of it. Killed, and how would we have taken it if the Brits would have said, hey, chill out, America. It's time for you to take a deep breath. Easy for us to say now with the hindsight of 20 years saying, yeah, that probably was a smart. But I remember, I mean, we're what we were doing with the French fries. We're changing the name to
stupid
freedom.
And I thought it was stupid. It was stupid then.
But I mean, we weren't going to be taking any instructions. So why should the Israelis want to have to listen to us? Except we.
Well, which is that's a fair question. Yeah. But I think as a country, we're a little more arrogant.
Right.
And we just assume that whatever we do is the right thing. So why would you even bother questioning us?
But I
never liked the Iraq thing. It was
right. But am I crazy in that I find myself as a left of center Democrat being on the side of the Israelis and the Ukrainians because both of them had aggression on them. And I'm for us winning these fights.
Yes.
And I get what everybody's saying that we're losing innocent civilians. Easy for me to say sitting here in the middle of America, 5,000 miles from wherever this is happening. But I want the good guys to win. And I don't understand what's going on that the Republicans want to see Vladimir Putin win, from my perspective, and the Democrats feel like they want to see the terrorists win and Hamas win.
Well, Ukraine, the Ukraine situation is just it's obvious. That was a sovereign nation. Another sovereign nation brought their military in and occupied it and is trying to. That's an invasion. What is going on now, I think there are too many people who won't allow themselves to be on the side of Israeli people, and I worry about their security. Israeli people, not the government, not Benjamin Netanyahu, which a lot of them don't even like. And didn't want in power. And as soon as this is over, I know they want
him
out. They want him out. Okay? So I'm not on his side.
Right.
But I am also on the side of people who live in Palestine who are 8-year-olds. I've seen videos of 8-year-olds being dragged out of buildings after they've been destroyed.
Right.
That's, to me, I don't know why you can't be on the side of Israeli people and also Palestinians who are not members of Hamas. And they're not all Hamas.
Israel has a military objective of eradicating Hamas's capacity to do what they did.
Right.
And because of the way Hamas is organized and structured, and because they denied civilians escape routes out of heavily populated areas, you know, these things are happening. But at the end of the day, it's Israel that has the right to decide how they're going to prosecute this response to what was far and away the worst terrorist attack on a per capita basis in human history. I mean, if you think about what happened there, if you look at Ukraine, we set the predicate in Ukraine back in 2014 when Russia invaded Crimea, and we did nothing. We basically did in 2014 in the Obama administration what many Republicans in Washington right now are advocating for now. We said, okay, they took it. Let's cut a deal with them. And
they won't do it again.
Make them stop there. Right. And so this isn't some lesson from World War II that we need to understand. This is a lesson from 10 years ago. Uh-huh. Russia invades Crimea. The president talked tough, essentially did nothing. Ultimately, they negotiated a situation where Russia would stop and just seize Ukraine, take it back into Russia, and Ukraine wouldn't join NATO. Everybody washes their hands and walks away. What happens within less than a decade? Back comes Russia, back into Ukraine, beyond Crimea. And with the intent, let's not forget, when they went in, they had an intent of a two-week takeover of that country. They thought they were going to take Kyiv within 2 weeks, get rid of the Ukrainian government, and take all of that land back into Russia. That was the objective that they had. And we allowed that in 2014, invited them back in. And anybody who thinks that if we walk away from the Ukrainian government right now and give Russia whatever territory in the Donbass they've already seized, that it's going to make peace in the region? No, it's not going to make peace in the region. It's going to make the region less stable. It's going to empower and encourage China to do what they've been wanting to do for decades in Taiwan. And, you know, there's this lack of understanding of history and recent history is mind-boggling to me.
No, it is, but I don't think people like to concern themselves with it. And I don't think they realize, even though we say the phrase over and over again that history repeats itself, don't think people realize it. I think we say it like a throwaway line, but I don't think they realize just how true that actually is. And Vladimir Putin is he has an ideology here. We know what he wants to do. We know that he wants the old Soviet Union back, and if he can accomplish it, that's what he'll set out to do, and a lot of people are going to die in return. I would also, to take it back to Israel for a moment, we had Colonel McCausland on, which I know you guys have talked to him a lot, and I asked him the question. I said, okay, what they are doing right now, their response, because I think one of our biggest concerns, if not the greatest concern, should be how safe is Israel after all of this, and the military action and the manner they're taking it right now, does it make Israel safer? And he said, I don't know. And that, to me, is the danger of what they're doing, is that they're not ultimately going to be safer after all of this is over.
It's becoming completely evident that the American government is starting to waver on just the extent of what Israel's up to and the loss of civilian life.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the fact that Israel's going this far, will this ultimately maybe force the two-state solution that we've been trying to have? Do you think the world's going to finally say, Israel, guess what? We're having a Palestine, how we're going to fix this problem.
It was the Palestinians that walked away from the two-state solution when Bill Clinton proposed it. That was a period of time back in the 90s when there was broader consensus within Israel that a two-state solution might work, and it was the Palestinians that said no. Because the Palestinians don't want a two-state solution because if one of those states is Israel. They don't want Israel to exist. And the hardliners in Israel, and Netanyahu is a hardliner, they have the similar feeling about the Palestinians. There are other factions in Israel government over the course of history that have been very open to a two-state solution. But you can't force a two-state solution if one of the states, in this case Palestine, does not believe that Israel legitimately ought to exist. And that, I mean, that's the intractable problem in the Middle East.
Short break. We'll be right back after this on the DGS.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you
I thought it was Merry we wish Christmas. You a Merry Christmas.
Everybody wishes everybody a Merry Merry Christmas. Everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, John Hancock.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Ron. What is this? When do people stop saying Merry Christmas? Because, like,
next
it's
year.
Over with.
It's the Christmas season.
Yeah.
It's Merry Christmas. And it's this whole week is kind of a, it's like an afterglow. You know how?
Yeah, more like afterglow to work, you know?
Yeah.
Well.
But it's over with, right? So if I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, Christmas happened on December 25th.
That was yesterday.
Right. So what am I wishing you?
Yesterday was Christmas, but this season is Merry Christmas season.
Okay.
And see, at this point, I think you have to transition to a full Happy Holidays because you just had one and you're on the way to another one.
I'm with you there.
Because now it's New Year's coming up.
New Year's, which is really
and
not
then,
a big deal.
When you get into the new year,
yeah.
you there's a period of time. I think that's the more important question.
Yeah.
How long do you say Happy New Year?
I think once you figure out.
Usually once the Masters starts is when I quit.
Well, that's in April.
But yeah, exactly.
No, you can start stop saying Happy New Year as soon as you figure out that you got to write 2024 on all of your checks.
Yeah, because yep. So everybody's writing checks these days over there.
I'm writing checks.
Exactly.
What?
And you don't nobody's write checks? Writing checks.
Nobody
anymore.
Writes checks. How about you, no. PJ? You write.
I bet he doesn't even have a checkbook.
Do you have a check? He's got a checkbook.
Ronge, do
my
you?
My daughter doesn't.
Do you still
have a
write checks, or you electronic them?
Well, I electronica everything, but there were some times that I had to have a physical check, and I had to physically go into the bank and like, can I get a couple checks?
Yeah.
So they gave me a
little stack of checks.
No, like three or four.
So I'm the one that's keeping the deluxe check printing business in business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I go through
you and my grandmother.
Like your grandmother.
Is that how you pay bills?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you get a
hammering
bill, you write a check.
$28.19 on Johnny
bill, write a check.
Why don't you just do the automatic withdrawal?
Well, because I want to know. I don't like when I'm writing checks, I like to have my register right there in front of me, Ronge. Because I like to have my checkbook balanced to the penny. The penny.
But you can log into your bank account, and you can look at every transaction.
You know what that, you know, it's more, every third time it tells you the service is not available right now.
No, it doesn't.
You come over to my computer.
This is coming from a guy who goes and fills his tire up every day. I don't trust you when it comes to technology.
I need to fill that tire.
Yeah, I don't trust you when it comes to technology. Although, he did find, I didn't realize you could do this. I have been getting, when people owe me money, I don't Venmo.
You rough them up?
I don't want Venmo. And so so people will say, hey, here, I wrote you a check for $50 that I owe you. And they give me a $50 check. And so what I had been doing is going to my bank, standing in the line or in the traffic line.
You could take a photo.
Wait, I did not know this. I did not know that I could take
front
a photo.
Back of the check.
Not the photo. Not the photo.
And I didn't know that I could go to the ATM with my ATM card.
Welcome to the 1980s.
And deposit it straight into the bank. I have always been going to a human. It was just last week.
I thought you you were going to say that you were still going to the ATM to deliver the physical check.
No, you could go to the
I didn't know you could go. The first time I went to the ATM the other day because
this is why. This is why, Michael. You got to keep up with the time.
I am not going to take any balderdash from you over there. Mr.
I've been putting checks in the ATM since the 1980s.
Yes. They haven't even had ATM machines.
Well, they most certainly did, Mike.
In the 1980s,
yes,
John?
Yes.
He's so
automatic teller
machine. I have not talked to a bank teller since Obama was in office.
Really?
Man, no.
Oh, I've been going through and saying,
I even hope I know a bank teller.
I'm a customer of yours. I'd like to cast the one check and then deposit the other three. I had no idea. I didn't have to deal with anybody. I could go, hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, can I go to any bank or is it only at your bank with your
ATM
card?
You have to go
to
your bank.
Yeah, go to your bank, Michael. And if you go through
drive-thru. You don't know. You are the one person who doesn't know.
Here's the little banking factoid that I didn't realize until recently. So it was the other day, Georgianne was babysitting to Alyssa, so she was gone. I got home by myself. I got to go to the bank.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, poor Gus is looking up at me. He hates it when we leave him. Yeah. I mean, he just gets all sad and starts whimpering, and you know, if you're gone for 10 minutes, he thinks you're going to be, it's going to be a, you know, a year and a half.
They think you've died every time.
They think
you've
gone off to war.
Uh-huh.
And so, so Gus is looking up. It's just him, just me and Gus there at the house, and I'm just running to the bank. You know, I said, so favorite music to his ears. I said, Gus, you want to go for a ride in the car?
Oh, yeah, they love that.
Boy, the tail starts wagging, and he gets all excited. He's wiggling and hops in the back seat of the car, and off to the bank we go. Because I'm going through the drive-thru. You don't want to leave the dog in the car because a lot of people will call the cops on you. So you go through the drive-thru. Gus is barking, right, because he's never been through a drive-thru like that before. And the teller, I give him my checks to deposit into the old account. Out comes the receipt. With a milk bone.
A treat, yep.
A milk bone for Gus.
Yeah.
I said, this is incredible. I said, do you do that for every dog that comes? Yes, she said.
Only the special dogs.
Yes. Huh. So Gus, he gets a milk bone, and then I think, you know what? I got money in the bank across the street. I'm going to go take it. And, so I wonder if they do it. And they did. So now I've got three different banks. Now... Gus and I'll ride the circuit sometimes, and we'll go to all three banks. In fact,
nice.
I got to go to the one.
That's when you're rich. You got three banks.
No, it's not rich. this is terrible. Do I have time for this?
Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
I had all my money in the bank,
uh-huh.
And I had a rude teller. This is, I don't know, 15 years ago. I had a rude teller at the bank. Rude. And I got home, and I said, by gum, I'm taking my money out of that bank.
Uh-huh.
And I did.
Good for you.
Yes. And so I opened an account at another bank.
Across the street.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then it dawns on me. My life insurance, my disability. I got all these automatic withdrawals coming out of that bank.
Oh, boy.
So I'm thinking, how am I going to move? Don't worry about it, I said. I'll keep enough money in that bank to cover those automatic withdrawals every month, which I've been doing now for 15 years. So I've got one bank.
And I'm the one taking trouble.
I got one bank that handles all of my automatic withdrawals. I got to remember to put the check in. And then I got the bank that I bank in. And then I got the bank that I business in. So there are three banks.
Wow.
And so you run the circuit with those three banks. And Gus gets three milk bones. What a country.
I know this. You showed that bank lady.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you just created a whole lot of work for yourself.
Makes no sense. It makes no sense. Mr. Technology over there having all these issues.
I'll show her. I'll just make a lifetime of work for myself.
Chris Ranji.
See you tomorrow.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
I'll settle this.
The news
Merry
is
Christmas,
back.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It is.
Christmas is over.
The waning hours of 2023, and I'm not sad to see it go, if you want to know the truth. But
you think it gets better in 24?
Well, so in my business, even-numbered years are always better than odd-numbered years.
Oh, that's true.
And so there you have it. Michael Kelly, John Hancock, Matt Pajeski, Chris Ranji, and the news here on KMOX.
I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you
I thought it was
Merry
we
Christmas.
Wish you a Merry Christmas.
Everybody wishes everybody a Merry Christmas. Everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, John Hancock.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Ron.
It's over.
What is this? When do people stop saying Merry Christmas? Because, like,
next
it's
year.
Over with.
It's the Christmas season.
Yeah.
It's Merry Christmas. And it's this whole week is kind of it's like an afterglow. You know how?
Yeah, more like afterglow to work, you know?
Yeah.
Well.
But it's over with, right? So if I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, Christmas happened on December 25th.
That was yesterday.
Right. So what am I wishing you?
Yesterday was Christmas, but this season is Merry Christmas season.
Okay.
See, at this point, I think you have to transition to a full Happy Holidays because you just had one and you're on the way to another one.
I'm with you there.
Because now it's New Year's coming up.
New Year's, which is really not a big deal.
When you get into the new year,
yeah.
There's a period of time. I think that's the more important question.
Yeah.
How long do you say Happy New Year?
I think once you figure out.
Usually once the Masters starts is when I quit.
Well, that's in April.
But yeah, exactly.
No, you can stop saying Happy New Year as soon as you figure out that you got to write 2024 on all of your checks.
Yeah, because so everybody's writing checks these days over there.
I'm writing checks.
Exactly.
What?
And you don't nobody's write writing checks.
Nobody
anymore.
Writes checks. How about you,
no.
PJ? You're right.
I bet he doesn't even have a checkbook.
Do you have a check? He's got a checkbook.
Ranj, do you
My daughter doesn't
do you still
have a
write checks or you electronic them?
Well, I electronica everything, but there were some times that I had to have a physical check.
Yeah.
And I had to physically go into the bank and like, can I get a couple checks?
Yeah.
So they gave me a, you know.
A little stack of checks.
No, like three or four.
So I'm the one that's keeping the deluxe check printing business in business?
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Because I go through
you and my grandmother.
Like your grandmother.
Is that how you pay bills?
Yes. Yeah. Well, you get a
hammering
bill, you write a check.
$28.19.
You get a bill,
Johnny,
you write a check.
Why don't you just do the automatic withdrawal?
Well, because I want to know. I don't like when I'm writing checks, I like to have my register right there in front of me, Ron, because I like to have my checkbook balanced to the penny. The penny.
But you can log into your bank account and you can look at every transaction.
You know what that, you know, it's more every third time it tells you the service is not available right now.
No, it doesn't.
Well, that makes, you come over to my computer.
This is coming from a guy who goes and fills his tire up every day. I don't trust you when it comes to technology.
I need to fill that tire.
Yeah, I don't trust you when it comes to technology. Although, he did find, I didn't realize you could do this. I have been getting, when people owe me money, I don't Venmo.
You rough them up?
I don't want Venmo. And so so people will say, hey, here, I wrote you a check for $50 that I owe you. And they give me a $50 check. And so what I had been doing is going to my bank, standing in the line or in the traffic line.
You could take a photo.
Wait, I did not know this. I did not know that I could take
front
a photo.
Back of the check.
Not
the photo. Not the photo.
And I didn't know that I could go to the ATM with my ATM card.
Welcome to the 1980s.
And deposit it straight into the bank. I have always been going to a human. It was just last week.
I thought you were going to say that you were still going to the ATM to deliver the physical check.
No, didn't know you could go to the
ATM. I didn't know you could go. The first time I went to the ATM the other day because.
This is why. This is why, Michael. You got to keep up with the time.
I am not going to take any balderdash from you over there. Mr.
I've been putting checks in the ATM since the 1980s.
Yes. They haven't even had ATM machines.
Well, they most certainly did, Mike.
In the 1980s, John?
Yes.
He's so
automatic teller machine.
I have not talked to a bank teller since Obama was in office.
Really?
Man, no.
Oh, I've been going through and saying,
I don't even know if I know a bank teller.
I'm a customer of yours. I'd like to cast the one check and deposit the other three. I had no idea. I didn't have to deal with anybody. I could go, hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you're doing that, can I go to any bank or is it only at your bank with your ATM
card?
You have
to go to your bank.
Yeah, go to your bank, Michael. And if you go through
drive-thru. You don't know. You are the one person who doesn't know.
Here's the little banking factoid that I didn't realize until recently. So it was the other day, Georgianne was babysitting to Alyssa. So she was gone. I got home by myself. I got to go to the bank.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, poor Gus is looking up at me. He hates it when we leave him. Yeah. I mean, he just gets all sad and starts whimpering. And, you know, if you're gone for 10 minutes, he thinks you're going to be, it's going to be, a year and a half.
They think you've died every time you leave.
They think you've gone off to war.
Uh-huh.
And so Gus is looking up at it. It's just him, just me and Gus there at the house. And I'm just running to the bank, you know. I said, so favorite music to his ears. I said, Gus, you want to go for a ride in the car?
Oh, yeah, they love that.
Boy, the tail starts wagging, and he gets all excited. He's wiggling and hops in the back seat of the car, and off to the bank we go. Because I'm going through the drive-thru. You don't want to leave the dog in the car because a lot of people will call the cops on you. So you go through the drive-thru. Gus is barking, right, because he's never been through a drive-thru like that before. And the teller, I give him my checks to deposit into the old account. Out comes the receipt. With a milk bone.
A treat, yep.
A milk bone for Gus.
Yeah.
I said, this is incredible. I said, do you do that for every dog that comes? Yes, she said.
Only the special dogs.
Yes. Huh. So Gussie gets a milk bone, and then I think, you know what? I got money in the bank across the street. I'm going to go take it. And, I wonder if they do it. And they did. So now I've got three different banks. Now Gus and I'll ride the circuit sometimes, and we'll go to all three banks. In fact, I got to go to the one.
That's when you're rich. You got three banks.
No, it's not rich. do I have time for this?
Yeah, you do. Go ahead.
I had all my money in the bank, and I had a rude teller. This was, I don't know, 15 years ago. I had a rude teller at the bank. Rude. And I got home, and I said, by gum, I'm taking my money out of that bank.
Uh-huh.
And I did.
Good for you.
Yes. And so I opened an account at another bank.
Across the street.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then it dawns on me. My life insurance, my disability. I got all these automatic withdrawals coming out of that bank.
Oh, boy.
So I'm thinking, how am I going to move? Don't worry about it, I said. I'll keep enough money in that bank to cover those automatic withdrawals every month, which I've been doing now for 15 years. So I've got one bank.
And I'm the one taking trouble.
I got one bank that handles all of my automatic withdrawals. I got to remember to put the check in. And then I got the bank that I bank in. And then I got the bank that I business in. So there are three banks. Wow. And so you run the circuit with those three banks. And Gus gets three milk bones. What a country.
I know this. You showed that bank lady.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you just created a whole lot of work for yourself.
Makes no sense. It makes no sense. Mr. Technology over there having all these issues.
I'll show her. I'll just make a lifetime of work for myself.
Chris Ranji.
See you tomorrow.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
I'll settle this.
The news
Merry
is
Christmas,
back.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It is.
Christmas is over.
The waning hours of 2023, and I'm not sad to see it go, if you want to know the truth. But
do you think it gets better in 24?
Well, so in my business, even-numbered years are always better than odd-numbered years.
Oh, that's true.
And so there you have it. Michael Kelly, John Hancock, Matt Pajeski, Chris Ranji, and the news here on KMOX.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.